Akuta Sichas Chelagud Beis, Bechukaisai Beis. Dina Maisa Behema, Shabasev Parsha Sena Alaposik. In regards to the laws of Maisa Behema, which are at the end of our Pasha, on the Posik that says, Lo Yivakar Ben Tev L'ra, that one should not choose between a good one or a bad one when it comes to choosing the tenth animal. Pirush Rashi explains, Lo Yivakar, he quotes the words from the Pasuk, you shall not choose the Goymer, and so on. And he explains, Lefisha Nemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Bechol Mifchar Nidereichem, that all the chosen promises that you make for Karbanas, Yochel Yehei Boyer Maitzis Ayofen, from which we learn, from the words Bechol Mifchar Nidereichem, we learn that one should choose the best, the choicest should be brought as a Karban. So I would think that in the case of Meiser, also he should choose the best animal as the Maisa Talmud Loimer. So the Pasuk says, Lo Yevaker Bein Toiv L'ra, he shouldn't choose between a good one or a bad one, Bein Tam Bein Balmum, whether it's a complete one, an unblemished one, or even if it's blemished. Chola Olav Kedusha, the holiness of Maisa attaches itself to that tenth animal no matter what. Lo Yevaker Balmum, not to say that he should bring a carbon that's a Balmum, that happened to be the tenth one. Rather, it should be eaten. Yoichel b'teres ma'aser should be eaten as ma'aser, but also the gozes as well. It's not allowed to be shared for the wool, the li'avid, and you're not allowed to work it, to use it for plowing or whatever. That's what Rashi says. V'hinei tchilas pirusha shel Rashi l'fisha nemar. At the beginning of his of this pirush, Rashi says, because it says, Talmud Loimer Lo Yevaker Ben Toiv L'ra, he explains why you would think that you should choose the best one, and he says, no, you're not allowed to choose the best one. Koyre b'teres kainim. This, the source of that drasha is in teres kainim. Omnum yedua shein darke Rashi lahatik drashas razal. But we know that the Rashi doesn't necessarily quote teachings of the razal. Elim ke mechrechasi lavanas pshuto shol ksuvim. Unless there is some essential need to explain the simple meaning of the pasuk, he doesn't quote every halacha that is learned from a pasuk. Why then, in our case, does he quote this Teiris Kainim? So we can explain that simply. Because on the simple level, these psukim it's not understood. Why does the pasuk have to make an emphasis of do not choose between a good one and a bad one? Why does the Torah have to say that? Why shouldn't he have to say that? The reason is din ma'aser behemah b'furush because of a kaidah, because the Torah already specified how a ma'aser behemah happens. Kol she'yaver tachas ha'shabet, anything that passes, any animal that passes under the staff. Ha'asiri yekadosh Hashem, the tenth one shall be holy. Shepshutei, what the simple meaning of this is, she'asei the tzarech li is that the order, the way the Torah describes it is she'abehemes eiveres, eiveres tachas ha'shevet, that all the animals are forced to pass under that staff. Ha'asiri is kedusha, and the tenth one is chosen as the holy one. And not that he goes and chooses an animal, he lets them all pass under the shevet, and whichever one is tenth. So the fact that it says in the word in the Torah, it says yaver, it shall pass, not you shall make pass. If you said you shall make pass, then maybe you should make pass the ones that you want to choose as the best. But since it doesn't say that, so we already understand on our own that it's whatever comes out. That's what comes out. Hare kfar yadua she'en lo adam levaker o levarer eza tia kadosh. So from this we understand already that a person shouldn't choose and decide which one should be chosen as holy. So then the question is, why does the Torah have to emphasize, do not choose? The way the Torah already set up the order, the seder is that it just passes by in whichever one is the one that happens. So therefore, that's the question that Rashi has. L'chein pirush Rashi, therefore Rashi explains, l'fi shenem v'chol mifcharin d'dereichen, that the reason that the Torah has to specify and emphasize that is because there's another pasuk that says that you should choose the best of your animals for your karbonos. Therefore, it might occur to somebody that he should somehow engineer which one should be the tenth one, that it should be the best one. Talmud Loimar, so the Torah has to say again, Lo yivakir ben toiv l'ra. Do not do that. Omnam al pizeh, but based on this, ain't a movement siyumai. Then what is the end of Rashi? What's Rashi saying in the second part of Rashi? He says there, Talmud Loimar, Lo yivakir ben toiv l'ra, ben tam. Now he specifies whether it's unblemished, or balmum, whether it is a blemished animal, cholov kedusha, it still has a kedusha of meiser. Hare lav sefer resha, the end of the Rashi doesn't seem to flow from the beginning of the Rashi for a number of reasons. Number one, hakasal gadaita hu rak to olav livro lohetzias ayofen. What does Rashi say? What would one think that he should be doing? That he should choose the best of the animals. So lechei ne'mar lo yevaker, and therefore the Torah has to say, no, don't choose. Avo menon lo yemar, but where does Rashi take to say, the chol mifcher in the derechem, hu li kuva, v'lo yechulak dusha klau, v'im lo yehoitzi esayofa. How does Rashi know that this idea of a chol mifcher in the derechem, that the Torah expects that one should choose the best animal that he has, is such an important halacha that if you don't do that, the holiness of the karmen does not attach itself to the animal, which isn't the best. That he has to say that it's like he has to tell you that even though you didn't choose the best one, you chose whichever one came, it's still holy. Why would you think that it wouldn't be holy? The fact that you should choose the best one, it was never said that this is likuva, which means that if you didn't choose the best one, it isn't holy. It doesn't become holy. Of course, even if you just choose a mediocre one, it would still become holy. And therefore, Rashi seems to be alluding to the fact that we have to be told that it is holy even though you didn't choose the best one. Why would you think otherwise? Beis, posach biyofa mesayim betam. He started by saying the best one, the nicest one, and he ends up talking about an unblemished one or a blemished one. That's a completely different subject. Tehine al korchach tzarech loyme, because we must say sheba kals falkadaitach yesh sheyehei boder meitzias ayofa, that even in Rashi's the idea, the slakadaitach, which means what we may have thought, the idea that may have come to us, that you should choose the best one, dafke, eina kavana lishol balmum. He's not trying to say over there that you shouldn't choose a balmum. Sharei balmum loy tisagadaitin lum ute metam kol mifchen derechem. Because it would never occur to us that one should choose a balmum, and that's what the mifchar, the choicest of your animals should be brought, is to tell you that you shouldn't bring a balmum. Because when it says bring the choices, that means from the ones that are able to be brought as a carbon. The ones that you're able to bring as a carbon, choose the best one. Whereas a balmum, you're not allowed to even be makdish it. You're not allowed to sanctify it as a carbon. So therefore that doesn't rise to becoming nidrechem altogether, that the Torah should have to say bring the best one. A balmum doesn't even rate as a carbon altogether. What it means is that you should take a nice, beautiful animal, meaning a fat one and so on, not one that is skinny or doesn't look right and so on, al derech chusha. And since we're not talking about mum at all, we're talking about choosing the best one within the unblemished ones. How does it lead into that even a balmum, it also is considered holy? Tam Balmum, Man Chashmei, whoever brought up, who's talking about a Balmum? Where did Balmum become a part of this discussion? We're talking about the best within the ones that are able to be brought as a carbon. And number two, Mekivin the Pirush, Akos of Loyevaker ben Toiv Lera, who Shaloyevaker is a Yofim Etoich Shar Shebeedre, Sheinim Yofim. Since what the Torah is saying, do not choose between a good one and a bad one, means that you shouldn't go and look for the best one from and to choose that one from amongst the ones that are not as good. But which would of course mean that all of them are fit to be brought as a carbon. Don't go and choose the best one. So how do we know to take from this pasuk that bein tam u'bein balmum chalol of kedusha, that the pasuk is saying that even a balmum should also be considered holy? From where in this pasuk, which is talking about the best or not the best, how do we know that this is talking about a balmum? How do you know that that's the result, that a balmum would also be considered holy? Gimel gam tzarich lo, and we also have to understand betchilas pirushay matik rakatevis lo yevaker. What does Rashi quote from the pasuk? Only the words lo yevaker, you should not choose. V'teves bein toiv l'ram, ram is b'begoymer. He doesn't directly quote the words between the good and the bad. He only alludes to it by saying begoymer and so on. V'be'emtza pirushim matik gam bein toiv l'ram, whereas in the middle of the Rashi itself, suddenly he does bring those words into the explanation. So if he's trying to explain those words, why doesn't he quote it in the pull quote, as I call it? Kain sarach lahabin b'siyam divrei Rashi. So also we have to understand at the end of Rashi, arichas l'shoinei, that he goes on to a long explanation. B'loy sheyakriv balmum, and it doesn't mean that he should actually bring a carbon that's a balmum. L'cheirem yiseres, explaining this is irrelevant. I mean, it's, why is it relevant here? Sharei kfar mefurish b'torah lifneize kol hashem mum lo sakrivu. It's already stated earlier in the Torah that you're not allowed to bring a balmum. Rashi doesn't have to bring it here that you can't bring a balmum. That's obvious. Hey, menolam l'Rashi b'pshudish l'mikra beiz ha'pratim shebepirusha sheyoichol b'toras ma'ase v'asal ligzes v'liyavet. Why does Rashi introduce this idea that it should be eaten? That since you're not allowed to bring it as a balmum, therefore what does it mean that it's a maiser? That it should be eaten as maiser, and that you're not allowed to share it or work with it. Where is that in Pshuto Shel Mikra? How does that relate to Pshuto Shel Mikra? Sabir Bazet, to explain this. Tevas lo yivaker, actually yivaker, talking about the word yivaker. The word yevaker efshaba beis pirushim could be interpreted as in two ways. Birur, which means to choose, to take the one that is best. U'menidin didan levaker u'lehoitzi v'heima echad metecha eser shev'edrei, to choose one that is good from the group of ten. That's what one meaning of yevaker means, to choose. Beis, Meloshim Bekeiris, which means to examine, to research. Umedidin didan pirusha, loishi varecha betecha shar, ella lasis bekeiris, b'chol edre. That in this case it wouldn't mean to go choose one from the others, but rather to do an investigation of your whole flock. V'hayne shekol achas ma'eder shel esa behemish shemimenu yeasir kedesh tiyemu bekeiris. In other words, go and check out each one. And that's what it's talking about. Don't go and do a research and to look at each one and so on, to check out each one. Muter las is bikeres b'teichedrei. And to do research, that is permitted according to halacha, to do research on your flock. Which the Gemara expresses in this way, that it's permitted for a yid to make a mum, to make a blemish in every single one of the animals of his flock. Umele yi asir balmum, which would lead, of course, to the tenth one, to the maaser being a balmum, because they're all balmum. Muzamuvim bepashtos gam leidach gisa. So from the fact that you could do it in a negative way, that it's okay, that one is able to go and sort of pay attention to each and every one of the animals of his flock in regards to Meiser. So just as you can make a Balmum, you can also the on the other hand, you could also do Shiyach Levaker as Edrash Tiyah Kulam Yafes when Melatiyah Behema Asiris Yafah. Just like you're permitted or able to make each one into a Balmum, you can also bring into this group of 10 from which you're going to give your Meiser, they should all be perfect animals, so that by definition the 10th one will be perfect. You could have caused the Meiser to be good by paying attention to each one of the flock. So if the meaning of lo yevaker means that you shouldn't choose, which means the Torah is telling you don't go and choose one of the 10, that's the one that should become the one that's good, should be the one that's holy. If that's the case, if that's what it means, so that already we know that that's not, you shouldn't do that, because the Pasuk already told you that the way that you go about bringing Meiser is that each one of the animals passes under the staff, and the 10th one is the one that's holy. So we already know that the way to do it is not to go and choose a good one. And therefore the meaning of, so therefore that would be clear that that's not how to do it, and therefore lo yevaker can't mean do not choose a good one, because that's not how you do ma'isa behema. You allow the animals to pass by, and whichever one it is, it is. And therefore would make more sense to say shelo yevaker hu meloshim bekeiros. That lo yevaker means that the Torah is telling you do not go and engineer that the 10th one should be a good one. How? By making sure that all the animals in this 10 group of 10 should be kedem shiya asram before you give them ma'aser shudiyana kolung gefirat zayne, that all of them should be perfect as you would like, and therefore the 10th one will also be perfect. So the Torah is telling you don't do that. So that may have been a way to look at this. What does he mean by lo yevaker? So Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. It means do not choose. And that's why, since he's addressing the word lo yevaker, he's trying to give the explanation of what the meaning of the word lo yevaker is. That's why. That's what he quotes. Because for the most part he is trying to explain that word. It's just that, how does he know what lo yevaker means? That will come from understanding what it says ben tov l'ra. So therefore he doesn't need to quote that. Therefore he only alludes to those words through the word v'goymer. And what is this? What is he trying to say here? What does he mean by this? Lefnei ze kishemedaber beparshas bafroshas behema lekorban nemar. Earlier, when it says about giving a behema as a korban, it says loyach lefenu, not in regards to ma'aser, in regards to all animals that are brought as a korban, that are donated as a korban. Loyach lefenu. That once you've chosen your animal and said that this is the animal that's going to be the korban, you shouldn't exchange it for another one. You shouldn't exchange it, a good one for a bad one, or even to go the other way. You chose a bad one, you want to give a better one. You're not allowed to do that. That's the union of tmura. So based on this, in our pasuk, im nefarish lo yevaker shelo yaseh bikeiros be'edrei, if we were to interpret, as the Rebbe said, it might make sense to say that it means do not engineer each and every one of the animals so that the end result is a good one. Why did he say only that he shouldn't choose in our case? Why does it say only in the case of the Meiser? Why does it say do not choose between good and bad? You should have also said, do not choose between good and bad, or between bad and good, and not choose, but and make sure that they are the good ones or the bad ones. Share Kamosha Ain Lavakeras Edrash Tiena Kolobemis Yafis, because the Torah needs to tell you that just like you shouldn't engineer, that all the animals in the group of 10 should be good ones so that the end result is a good one. Needless to say that the Torah should warn you that you shouldn't make sure that they're all bad ones so that you'll only have to give a bad one. But the Torah doesn't say that. It only says, Lo yavaka ben toiv l'ra. And since the Torah only says, do not engineer between a good one and a bad one, therefore it can't mean that you shouldn't be engineering, because then it would have to tell you both ways. So therefore it means you shouldn't choose. And if you might ask, as we said before, why would you think that you can choose? The Torah already gave you the order of how it has to be done. So Rashi says, because there is, we know that the Torah says you should choose the best. Therefore, that would lead us to say, even though it seems as if they should just be allowed to go out on their own, but since the Torah requires that you should give the best, maybe it means that you should choose the best somehow. Therefore it says, do not choose between the good and the bad. That's why over here the pasuk doesn't add the other way between bad and good. Since the Torah already said that whatever ends up coming out, the tenth one should be holy. Therefore, we understand already that you can't choose the tenth one, and that's the one that should be holy. The only reason why I would think that you should be able to do that is because of to fulfill the pasuk that says that you should give the best from your flock, which can only be interpreted that maybe I should choose the best one, and therefore with that pasuk I would somehow override what the order of what the Torah seems to be giving as the order of Meiser, that you should allow them to go out on their own. So you would only be able to think that you should choose good ones and override Kol HaSheyaver. Therefore the Torah only has to tell you, no, don't choose the good one. In this case you don't have to choose the good one. But the Torah doesn't need to tell you that you should override the pasuk that says you should allow them to go out on their own in order to choose a bad one. There's no, why would anybody think that? The only reason that you might think that you could choose one is because it should be a good one. And therefore there's no need for the Torah to say, Lo yevaker ben ra l'toiv. Omna madaya kasha, but still there's a question. Since you're not allowed to choose between a good one and a bad one, since it's only coming to eliminate the idea that you should choose the best one, that maybe you might think that you should choose a good one, it should have only said, don't make a choice. Just let it happen as it happens. And he doesn't have to say Toiv L'ra, Ra L'toiv, he doesn't have to say anything. Shagam Oz Hayimuchrach L'farish Shamaduva Rabbi Bikr Hayofa. Because then it would also be obvious that we're talking only about choosing a good one from the bad ones. Kibbaloli Akazav Hol Mivcher Nizreichem, as we said before, because without that posik that which tells you that you should choose a good one, Shagonosa L'yofa, Ein Sarach Lishlel Shleiver Asasiri. Without that, you wouldn't even have to be told that you shouldn't choose the tenth one, because that's already obvious from the previous pasuk. Ma'achas shekvar nema b'kolo sheyaver. V'im kein teves ben toiv l'ra miusarasim. And if so, the pasuk shouldn't have to say the words ben toiv l'ra either. It should simply say, do not make a choice. What would you think should be a choice? I would think that based on b'chol mivchar nedreichem, you should choose the good one. The Torah doesn't have to say that. That's obviously inherent in your thinking. So all it should say is, don't make a choice. So from this, Rashi knows shebein toiv l'ra marba oid inyan, that the words bein toiv l'ra, since the Torah does say them, they must be telling us something more than simply don't make choose a good one, because that's the only thing that I would even think of choosing. So what then is the Torah saying by bein toiv l'ra? There's something new being taught here, which is tamu b'amum. It's also including that you shouldn't make a choice even between an unblemished one and a blemished one. And the pasuk is coming to those bein tam bein b'amum cholol of kedusha, that whatever happens there, whatever comes out, whether it's a tam or b'amum, it's going to be holy. That's what he's telling us by adding the words bein toiv l'ra. And although obviously a balmum can't be brought in the mizbeach, uktushas a meiser ilakarv lemizbeach, and the intent of a meiser is that it should be brought on as a carbon on the mizbeach. So what are you going to do with a balmum? Mekol makam ilamadnu imashenem leivaka ben toiv l'ra. But since the Torah adds the words leivaka ben toiv l'ra, shepirushay gam tamu balmum, which we just explained, must mean that even if it's a tam, even as a balmum, shagam balmum cholov kedusha, that even if it's a balmum, it's holy. Elo shekedushas hiloshi yikara balmum, the only way to interpret it is that even though it's kaddish and it's meiser, even though it's a balmum, it doesn't mean, of course, that it should be brought as a korban. Elo yaachol b'tayrus meiser, but rather it should be eaten as meiser. But also the gods of Eliyavid, and that you're not allowed to work it, and so on. Kidlakaman, as I'll explain these details in a moment. So to explain this, Biktushas Ha'asiri, Bein Tam Bein Balmum, in regards to the holiness of the tenth animal, that even if it's a Balmum, it's also holy. Nemar Yieh Kedush. It says, it shall be holy. In the previous pasuk, it also says, it shall be holy. But Tosfos Tevis, yieh, adding the word, it shall be, mezem mashma. From this we understand, the noisaf al etzim chalois haktushas ala behem etzorech, she yieh kedush. What is the word yieh? It shall be made holy. That in addition to the fact that the tenth one automatically becomes holy, being the tenth, there has to be something, you have to cause the holiness to become attached. You have to do something as well. Meaning to say that when the animal becomes sanctified by being the tenth, you need to do something as well in order for that kedusha to attach itself to the animal. That's what yihyeh means. Make it happen. That's what it means. Make it happen. K'may shepirush Rashi al yihyeh kedush anam lefneizah betam nikrav lemizbeach tomay veimurav v'chulu v'abosanecha lebailim. Shazuya Pulus Haktusha Hyubishala Odam La Soisa Minishkat Mishenaskacha Habahema. That's how Rashi explains the word Yieh Kedush, which is written earlier when it's talking about an ordinary animal that was sanctified as a carbon, and it's a tam, it's a perfect animal. So it says Yieh Kedush. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Yieh Kedush? What do you have to do? And he explains that it means you have to sprinkle the blood, you have to burn the imurim, the innards on the mizbeach, the meat should be eaten by the owners. These are the things that one has to do to that holy animal for that korban. In other words, there is an expectation that the person do something for this holiness. Ulam menegel balmum in a movement. But now, if we're talking about a balmum, in the case of the meiser, so then we have to understand, how are you going to apply Yieh Kedush, that it should be, meaning it should be, you should do something in regards to that sanctity. What can you do to Balmum that should be an act of Kedusha? You can't bring it as a carbon. Therefore, Rashi says, now it's an explanation of the word Yir Kodesh, that V'loy sheyikarev balmum, not that it should be brought as a carbon, as a balmum, sheyipulechiyov shal kedusha yikris, which is the act, the positive act of kedusha, which is inherent in the word Yir, that something like that has to be done. Eli Yo'ochel, that would be the simple meaning of it, but in this case, Yo'ochel b'teiris meiser, here, what needs to be done, how do you express the Yir Kodesh, that it should be eaten as Meiser. Shagam Zaysi Pu'ulich Yuv Shlo Kedusha, eating it as Meiser is also an act that you do in order to bring about its holiness. Avalein Zem Maspik. But it's not enough to just simply say that. Ki Lo Ochloi B'teiris Meiser Efshir Rak La'achashchita. But because eating it as a bomb, eating it as Meiser, that can only happen after you shecht it. And shechting the balmum, that doesn't come at the time when you sanctify the animal. And as he said before, and I skipped, I didn't emphasize that enough, that the kedusha should take place immediately as you are sanctifying the animal. There should be something done immediately as you sanctify the animal that brings out this kedusha, from that you did something. So the shechita of the animal, the eating of the animal, which can only happen after the shechita, that can't happen immediately. it can happen as you're sanctifying the animal. V'loy miyad kishachol olav kedusha, and it doesn't happen immediately when the sanctity of the tenth attaches itself to the animal. L'chei meisiv Rashi, and therefore Rashi adds, also ligzayz v'li ovet, ligazayz v'li ovet, that immediately you can apply another element of Kedusha, which is that you're not allowed to share it and you're not allowed to work with it. Shebikdusha zu tzarech lezer tekem mishin iskatsha. And this holiness, you have to make sure that you honor this holiness immediately. Immediately you're not allowed to share it. Immediately you're not allowed to work with it. So therefore, that's why Rashi adds these two. But still, this is not enough to say that. So then, in other words, the question would be, why talk about eating at the Teiris Meiser? Why not just leave these two, which happen immediately? So the Rebbe explains that that wouldn't be enough because that is not an act. There is no act involved in not sharing it, not working with it. Elo shlidush, this is to refrain from doing something. Therefore, Rashi prefers to start with it should be eaten as Meiser, which is an act, a positive act of eating it as Meiser. But since there is something, it can't be done right away, so therefore there's also a negative act which can be applied immediately, and Rashi mentions that second. From the amazing things that you can derive from this Rashi in Halacha, Adayin Sarach Lahavin, we still have to understand Kedusha Zu B'Val Mum Asher Yo'ochel B'Teiris Meiser Mayin Yonah. What exactly does it mean that this is a balmum, cannot be brought as a carbon? You have to eat it. You're going to eat it. You should eat it as Meiser. What does that mean exactly? Ne'echel L'Shnei Yomim B'Layla Echad Hurak B'Tam Eloi B'Balmum. That it should be eaten for 2 days and one night, which is the time limit for when a Maisa carbon can be brought. That only refers, of course, to a tam, unblemished animal that is being brought as a carbon. But it doesn't apply to a balmum. There's no limitation to how long you can save the meat and eat it. Nechol rak b'chola ir Yerushalayim, a Maiser carbon is only allowed to be eaten within the limits of Yerushalayim. Gamzeo rak b'tam, this also only applies to an unblemished animal that is actually brought as a carbon. B'malmum nechol b'chol mokim, and a balmum can be eaten anywhere. Gam b'chutzlaris, you could even take it out of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ezad din miyuchad b'achilus Maiser balmum shal yodit tekar achilus zub achilus b'teres Maiser. So then what is left? What exactly is it that you have to do in order to eat this animal, this balmum meiser, to eat it b'teiris meiser? What does it mean? Ve'ein loy meshakavanihi masha ein nimkarim be'itlis, ve'ein shayklim be'litra, and you can't say that what it means is, there's another halacha which relates to a balmum, which is that you're not allowed to sell it in a butcher shop. In other words, that it shouldn't be treated like an ordinary piece of meat. You don't sell it in a butcher shop, and you don't weigh it. Here's a pound, or you want a half a pound. That's the meaning to the holiness of the balmum carbon. So you can't. So maybe that's what it means. It should be eaten b'tayrus ma'aser in that way. Can't say that. Kineisu shalakamadeyus humadarabbanon, the balmum, because in addition to the fact that according to a number of opinions, this is only a prohibition midarabbanon midayraisa, you are allowed to do that, weigh it or sell it. Because in addition to that, haray alav zo rak inyan shlili. First of all, this is only a negative thing. You're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to sell it in a butcher shop. You're not allowed to weigh it. How is that eating it b'tayrus ma'aser? The ikar and the second main thing is ein zedim ba'achilas ma'aser. That doesn't describe how you eat it b'tayrus ma'aser. It only describes how not to sell it. B'malosh and Rashi shia ochel b'tayrus ma'aser. And Rashi uses the word it should be eaten b'tayrus ma'aser. Mashma sheyesh inyan chiyuvi ba'achilasei. From that it seems that there is something that needs to be done when you're eating this meat, that you're eating it as meiser. So what exactly is that? So the Rebbe says what I think is a chiddush of the Rebbe, that Rashi is saying that what he means is literally the way he says it. That when you eat it, you have to be eating it with the kavana that you're eating meiser. That it's a halacha midei raisa. That you have to have in mind that when you're eating this meat, that you're eating meiser. And this is something which is it seems is a great chiddush, and it's not written anywhere else. The Rebbe said, I haven't seen it anywhere else. So that's a great chiddush, dvarim mufloim, that we find in this Rashi. To understand something of the deeper ideas that are found in Rashi. Mevor b'chsidus, it's explained in chsidus shavazichuch shebedvarim gashim v'aliyosim l'ktusha yeshim kama madregas. That when we talk about refining material things and elevating them to a level of holiness, there are a number of different levels. Umehem, among those levels could be dvarim gashmim, when we talk about ordinary material things, shirak huchnu la'asiyas mitzvah, which have only been they're there, they were prepared in order that they should eventually be used as a mitzvah. Terev shenasu b'em ha-mitzvah, but at this point, no mitzvah has been done with them yet. Kegayim, for instance, semesh uchon l'tzitzis. Somebody prepared wool, which he intends to make into tzitzis. Klaf l'tfilin, he prepared parchment, because he wants to make tfilin out of it, and so on. Which are material things, no mitzvah has been done yet, but they've been prepared for that purpose. L'mayelam is there, on a higher level than this is, ha-dvarim ha-gashim sh'achar shenas is b'em ha-mitzvah. So already those things have a certain element of holiness. They're there for the purpose of doing a mitzvah with them. Then there is after you've actually done the mitzvah with them. Asher ha-zichu ha-nas b'em b'eis kiyim ha-mitzvah, al-yidei kiyim ha-mitzvah, that the refinement that is brought to this material thing, after you've already done the mitzvah with it, which is of course the highest level of refinement that you could bring to it, the effect, the trace, the holiness that was accomplished in it when you did the mitzvah with it remains with it even after you finished doing the mitzvah. And even in that there is a difference. There is a difference, there is no comparison between what the holiness that is attached to something which would be considered tashmishei kedusha, holiness like tefillin or mezuzah, which become holy and sanctified. Le'elu, on the other hand, you have those things, she'em b'hem kedusha l'achar asiyas ha-mitzvah, which after you finish doing the mitzvah with them, they don't have any inherent holiness. Be'em k'may tashmishei mitzvah, which are called those things which were used in doing a mitzvah. So like, for instance, schach of a sukkah. So you did a mitzvah with them, and a certain amount of holiness is attached to them, but they're not considered holy. Yisayim is then even more. So there's a very big difference between those two. And even more, gam bedvarim she'ein ha-mitzvah nasas behem atzmam, elo shal yodam nasas ha-mitzvah. There are even things which the mitzvah isn't done with that thing itself. It's just that through this thing, you're able to do a mitzvah. Kegoyin momen ha-nitin letztokah, like money that you give to tztokah. Hine af she'ein b'moyes elo shum kedusha, heim chulim kimekaydem. This money that you did used for the mitzvah of tztokah doesn't have to be treated in any way, in any sanctified way, as distinct from, let's say, schach that you use for a sukkah. It says that you shouldn't be mevazit, you shouldn't treat it with disrespect, you should dispose of it in an honorable way, not just dump it in the street or whatever. So, but by money of tztokah, nowhere does it say that you should use the money of tztokah in some respectful manner. They are ordinary chulin as they were before. But yet we understand that once you've used the money for tztaka, even though it doesn't have any holiness, it's just ordinary as it was before, but the fact that you used it as a mitzvah, with a mitzvah, to do a mitzvah, gives it a certain refinement. And it's different than money that was never used for tztaka. In fact, as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that the money, the tenth, let's say the ma'aser that you give for tztaka, it elevates not only itself, but the other nine parts which remain with you that you're going to use for your own personal needs. The tztaka that you gave, the tenth that you gave, elevates the whole kit and caboodle, the whole 100%, not just the 10% that you gave to tztaka. So in this way, it would seem that when you give Meiser Behema, the Meiser also elevates the other nine animals from which it was given Meiser, just like in that, in the case of the tztaka. Well, it's a rechion that needs a little more thought. The reason for this is Zeu shachidush b'matan Torah l'yanim yedul tachteinim v'tachteinim yel'yanim. This is what the chiddush of Matan Torah is, that the upper realms can come down below and that things from the lower realm can be elevated to the higher realm. V'haynu shazichur hanasa b'dover agashmi be'es asiyas hamitzvah nikva b'rishimu gam la'achar asiyas hamitzvah. In other words, what is meant by this, that not only when the mitzvah is being done, that's when the upper elements come down, or that the lower elements are elevated only during the performance of the mitzvah. It means that even after you finish doing the mitzvah, it is inculcated, it is permeated by the Elyonim, it has been elevated to the Elyonim. This is alluded to in this Rashi. Ma'isa behema tmima shenemer al zeh yeh kodesh. When we talk about a meiser of a unblemished animal, about which it says yeh kodesh, in aktusha nasid ba niris ba begoli achakach, that kodesh can be seen even after you separated the meiser. Why? Because krev al gab mizbeach, it'll be brought as a korban on mizbeach. Dama ve'imura, the blood and the innards will be brought, sprinkled on mizbeach, burnt on mizbeach. Omnam bebehema balas mum, but when we talk about an animal that is a bal mum, she'ein kreve meisal gabem izbeach, which cannot be brought as a carbon, l'chayre l'nira b'ktusha achas shecholole ktusha's meiser. After you've named it meiser, where do you see any ktusha? Where is any ktusha expressed? V'raksha also l'geizes of a labid ba. The only thing that you can see that's detectable, so to speak, is that you're not allowed to share it or work with it, which would be more similar to the schach that we talked about, that you're not allowed to degrade it, to treat it in a degraded way. But to see a positive effect of kedusha on it, you don't see any positive kedusha. Mashenkin lepirish Rashi, but now the way Rashi says it, mikimish in eskaima ba mitzvah ma'aser b'cholol of kedusha. Since you did the mitzvah of Meiser, and the term Kedusha The holiness has been attached to it. Nishara b'kedusha, this kedusha remains in it. Shabala de bita begoli gam la'achazeh, and that's even expressed afterwards. Ya'achol b'toyres meiser, that it has to be eaten as meiser. Kishekisha oichloi olav l'chaben shu oichol meiser, that when you're eating it, you have to have in mind that this is being eaten as meiser. So we see that even a bal mum, and after you did the mitzvah already, you finished doing the mitzvah, now when you eat it, you still have to bring out, it still brings out its holiness. Another thing about the inner dimension in our Rashi. Yidua b'inyan sur merav asei tov. We know in regards to the two mitzvahs that there are. There is the ones that you have to refrain from doing, and there is the ones that you have to do. That the main way of drawing down holiness into this world, alukus into this world, is through the act of doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah saseh dafke through the positive mitzvahs. Elushechdei lahamshech alukus laidei mitzvah saseh. Only that in order to be able to do to bring down the alukus through positive mitzvahs, proactive mitzvahs, tzarech liyis tchilus ur meira, first you have to remove yourself from doing anything evil. K'moshel HaMelech, has the moshel that is brought about a king. Shereitzim lasos leidirino, that we want to build him a beautiful palace. Shetzrichim lefanas ha'echel mekol lichloch, first you have to remove any garbage that is in that room or in that palace in order to create a beautiful living space. Va'achakach losadashom kelim noyman, only after that can you bring in the beautiful things that will make it as a beautiful living space. So also, even though it's the positive mitzvahs which bring the dira b'tachtayinim, you have to remove anything, you have to clean out the garbage before you can bring in the beautiful things. V'zeo shemeram is Rashi b'seder inyonim, and that's how Rashi explains it, in the order that he says, sheyoichol b'toyres meiser, first he mentions that it has to be eaten a proactive kedusha of meiser. And only after that, also the gods of Eliyahu, they speak about the sur meira, those things which you're not allowed to do. First, he explains what is the purpose, what is the ultimate goal of this avoda. Ya'achol b'toyres meiser, the positive shu'inyan chiyuvi, the proactive part of the mitzvah, through which that brings out the kedusha of the meiser in a revealed way, in an obvious way. V'achakach, only afterwards does he mention medaber al dvar sur meira, does he talk about those elements which are, you have to refrain from doing something negative, shu'agdamas v'tofel l'amshachas alukus, which is only the way, the preparation for, and it's only secondary to the bringing the alukus, which happens through the active mitzvah. And that's why he mentions secondly, also the gozes v'liyavet. V'haynu av sheseder advarim b'poyel harei tchila tzarech liyis hasiris b'sur meira, even though in the order of avayda, what has to come first? Sur meira has to come first. Shlo yedvarim b'lti ritzuyim, you have to first remove yourself from any negative things. V'acha kacha avayda d'vasei tev, only then can come the avayda v'asei tev. So the order is different, chronologically the order is different. But when it Rashi in the inner dimension of Torah, when you look at the depth of it, that brings out what is the inner meaning of something. First he emphasizes what is the main goal of this Aveda. The real goal is to make a Divratayinim which is through active mitzvahs. And only after that does he explain that as a preparation for this stage, you also have to have sur meira. You're not allowed to, you have to refrain from doing what is wrong. Another thing, in looking at this remez that we just talked about, looking at it at a simple level, maktim havadai ye'ochov achakach hasofik. First he says that which is certain, that you'll eat the korban. That's the, I mean, it's not a korban, the eat the meiser. Then he talks about something which might happen, which could also happen. That if the animal has, before you eat it, it grows the wool, which you would be able to share, or or it has the strength, or whatever it is, has something that can be worked with it, only after that does he speak about something which might also happen. And although, as we said, we just said that sur mera is the, which in this case means the prohibition to share it or to work with it, is only the akdoma and the preparation for the main aveda, which is to bring kedusha through asay tayt. Yochel b'teiras ma'aser, which is expressed by eating it b'teiras ma'aser mekol mokim. Tzarachliyas azahirus the sur mera dafke b'chol ha'protim. You have to be careful, even though the sur mera seems to be secondary. You have to be very careful about the sur mera, and that every detail has to be done properly. Mavur b'Rashi, mavay Rashi shezeh bebeiz ha'inyonim. Isur giza v'isur avayda. He expresses this idea by both of these things, sharing and avayda. Shazirus tzarachliyas heim ba'avayda hanases begufa behema. That you have to be careful about this, both in Aveda, which is done with the actual body of the animal, the Haidam Yonim Ikrim, which means in more important in the case of an animal, its body is of course more important than its wool and its hair. So being careful has to be both in the Yonim Ikrim, like the body, the Haim Begiza, and also in the secondary things like shearing it, Shibesiris, which only is the hair of the animal, Shasiris, Haim Espesorei. That the hair is called espesare, the word espesare, that which is attached to or secondary to the flesh, atofel ibsare, the hainu azahirus, gam beinyonim shemnirim l'chayre tfeilim. In other words, that the Rashi is telling us that you have to also practice your sur meira perfectly, even in the secondary things, in those things which are secondary, like hair and wool and so on. And when you do your aveda in this, in the way Rashi details it, this will lead that when you get to the ve'asei tov, it'll be done properly, and it'll be bring down that which it needs to bring down. That it will create a good dira v'tachtonim for the Eved Hashem.